I'll just invite Pastor Peter to come. He's going to present the word today. Give him a hand, everyone. God bless you, Pastor. You're good.
Good morning. Hallelujah. We've got a slide that's going to go up. We hope. That's great. Having the heart of David at such a time as this. The Lord says he was looking for a man. Looking for a man. Looking for you. The Lord sought you out. He knows you. Hallelujah. I may know you to see you at a distance, but he knows every thought, every desire. He knows everything about you. He knows you. And he's seeking the man. Hallelujah. When we come to Christ, we are born again. When we come to Christ, he changes us into a new creature. But that new creature is to grow up, to become a mature son, to become fully developed, not babies. He's not looking in this hour for babies who wander around in nappies. Hallelujah. He's looking for men and women of God who have grown in his maturity, who have had their hearts and their minds changed and transformed to think as he thinks. Hallelujah. Today we're going to look at that. The Lord knows how to take us into change. He knows how to prepare us. The Lord knows how to prepare you. Hallelujah. From today. He always starts today. And he takes us on from there. Hallelujah. He's looking for a David. David, he's looking for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he knows about change. He knows about what is up ahead. And then on one day, Jesus took his disciples, his early disciples, into an incredible change. He had been taking them towards this change for a long time. And hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2 tells us about the hour, the change. Stuff had changed. He was only a few days away from the greatest event in the earth's history that will ever be. And Jesus went out, it says, and he departed from the temple, and his disciples, his trainees, came to him, and they weren't going to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The Lord has authority. He also has foresight. He also knows your heart. Verse 3. Then he went out to the Mount of Olives, and he sat on the Mount of Olives. And as he sat there, the disciples came to him privately. They wanted to know what was going on. They're shocked to the core with what he's just said. And then they say to him, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age, the end of the world? They asked them. It just came out of these boys. Hallelujah. Three questions. And Jesus answered them, and he said to them, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. That was not the answer that they were expecting. Hallelujah. But it was the answer that God is speaking into our hearts as he takes us into a time of change, into this hour. This is an hour of deception, an hour of intrigue, an hour of lying, an hour of propaganda, an hour of the world giving you a spin and thinking that you know nothing and you are nothing. But God knows, and he's preparing you for such a time as this to take you through this time. Jesus was getting them ready, and what he was getting them ready for was big. What Jesus is getting you ready for is big. He has big plans, and those plans have your name written all over them. So now at this time with the disciples, with these trainees, he had a bunch of boys that he had in training. He got these guys. They were fishermen. Okay, they were skilled in the Old Testament scriptures. They knew Hebrew. They knew the Old Testament language. They were familiar with it from when they were a baby in kindergarten. They didn't have kindergarten, but they had better. Their mums and dads taught them. Hallelujah. And they taught them the word. And they would memorize the word. And so by the time they got to the early teens, they are proficient in knowing the word in its original Hebrew language. And Jesus sought these guys out one by one, just like he sought you out and drawn you, because he knows you by name. Hallelujah. And he drew them to himself, and he started training them. And now they've come into this period. They're only a week or two off. They don't know what's going on. But now Jesus takes them up to Jerusalem. Whoa! Thomas says, "You're not going up there, Lord. They're going to kill you." He says, "We're going up." He says, "Well, let me go up and let them kill me too." And so they went up. The boys were going up, but this was all change. I want you to imagine what it's like to be on Jesus' team at this time in his trainee program, okay? So they're going up there, and they think that it's going to be really, really fun. At some point in the stage, he goes out and he speaks to a fig tree, and the fig tree curls up its toes and just drops dead. Okay? He goes into the tabernacle, into the courtyard. The boys would be thinking, wow, you know, he'll go up and he'll talk to these high priests. They'll be nice and friendly. They will treat him well. No, they knew that they were hunting him down, and they were planning to kill him. They knew that because of John. They'd been followers of John the Baptist. They'd seen what they'd done to John the Baptist. And so they are a bit trepidatious, but they've got no idea. It's what's ahead in the next week is right out of the frame of their expectancy. They have no idea what is going to happen. And they come up there, and Jesus goes into the tabernacle nice and friendly and gets the tables and turns them upside down and tells the guys, listen, this is the end of your stealing, robbery work that's going on here. And he causes a tremendous fuss. And then he tells the Pharisees what lovely guys they are. He just really, you know, what wonderful friendly fellows you are, you know, and you're so kind and so good, and You know, and he says, no, he told them exactly where they were, what they were doing, as they plotted to kill him, which they denied, but they were. And so he says, your house has left you desolate. And then he goes out, and then he says to the disciples, look at this. It's not going to be this beautiful building, which they all loved. Maybe the boys were saying, oh, you know, we'll get Jesus to focus on something nice. You know, he just told these Pharisees, we'll get him to focus on the lovely building. And Jesus says, you see that building? It's going down. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. So the boys are stunned. And they're trying to cheer him up. Tell us, when will these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming of the end of the world? And Jesus says, take it. Let no man deceive you. Take heed. Let no man deceive you. In just a few days, Jesus was condemned to death. Had a legal trial. He was flogged for our transgression. He was bruised for our lawlessness. By his stripes we are healed. And then he rises. Historical fact. 500 witnesses, eyewitnesses of the fact. He rose, showing that the payment for you and I had been received. Payment in full. Payment in full. Our debt paid in full. He purchased us. He paid to break all curse over our life. It's paid for. Hallelujah. All spiritual charge against us cancelled because of the payment. Hallelujah. That will never change. That will never change. All the time, the words are sitting in behind that. Take heed that no man deceive you. Hallelujah. And those words are life. Those words are powerful. Those words are for this hour. Take heed that no man shift you away from what Jesus has done. The price that he has paid for you, that is reality. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that, the reality of that, will not change. It's there, done for us for all time. Paid in full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then came Pentecost. Then came the promised empowerment, the coming of the beautiful one, the one who Jesus said would take the things of Jesus and show them to us. Hallelujah. He started to begin some of that in your life. He's begun that already. Hallelujah. But how big is this? And how big is he taking us into? As big as his heart. Hallelujah. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you. He will show you things to come. For he shall receive of mine, and he will show it to you. He will show it to you. All things that the Father has, says the next verse, Jesus said this, all things that the Father has are mine. That's huge. That is absolutely huge. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he shall take of mine and show it to you. How big is Father's heart for you? How big is Jesus' heart for you? All things that you need to prepare you for the hour to come, to prepare you to grow you up as a David. Hallelujah. And to prepare you as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a woman of God, not just, but the man and the woman that God dreamed you to be. This is how big. This is what he carries in his heart. I wanted you to see it. Hallelujah. The promised one, the beautiful one, is the antidote to Jesus' warning. Take heed that no man deceive you. You have the comforter, the Spirit of truth, who takes the word of God and brings you the things of Jesus out of the word of God to prepare you for such a time as this, for this hour. We don't know what the next week is going to bring to us. We don't know what the next fortnight is going to bring on our world. Our world is changing. There's been some things that have happened in our world in the last 2 years that have never happened in the history of mankind before. And there has been, and there is a grab for power and a grab for knowledge and control over your life that has never been in the hands of mankind until this hour. Supercomputers that can track you, everything that you put onto the internet, every photo recorded, and a profile is being raised about you and you and you. And God knows, and God is bigger than the computers. And God is bigger than their science. And he's bigger than their knowledge. Hallelujah. He holds you in the palm of his hand. And he's preparing you as his man and his woman for this hour. He is faithful. We sang that. He is faithful in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mark of the Holy Spirit's work is truth, honesty, love, goodness, showing to us who Jesus is. Jesus is truth. Jesus is honesty. Jesus is love. Jesus is goodness. Jesus is kindness. The Holy Spirit is taking us into that and putting that in our heart and growing that in tremendous measure. Hallelujah. He's making it. He's growing up sons who look just like him. So we've heard the message of the Holy Spirit coming to us, calling, come unto me. All, every one of us, come unto me. All ye that are battered and bruised and wounded and knocked around and whatever. Doesn't matter what your situation is right now. He takes you where you are and he gets you on your feet. He causes you to breathe again. Hallelujah. He puts a strength inside of you, a courage inside of you. That is his courage. The courage that faced the cross. Hallelujah. And he says, you take my yoke. Come on, join up with me. Lock in with me. Put my, come on, it's going to be my thinking. You're going to carry my, you're no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I take his yoke upon me. And I have open my heart to learn of him. For him to teach us. For him to train us. For him to be the one that fashions us. His. Hallelujah. So that he's taking reaction out of us. Oh, something happens and we want to stand up and punch something, you know. Hallelujah. Somebody says, let's go out and let's go out and kill a cow. You know, but the Lord's taking that out of us and he's putting courage in us and he's putting a rest in us and he's putting an ability just like a trained soldier that doesn't panic but waits for the orders to know how to move, what to say, what to do, how to fire at the right time, accurately, carrying all of Jesus' characteristics, truth, love, goodness. Hallelujah. Don't let any man block you from God by getting in your head with a promise of another answer for your life apart from God's answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let any man get in your head with a promise of another answer to shift you away from your trust in your God, who is for you all the time. Hallelujah. Paul was a broken man. Paul was a man that had been on the wrong path. He'd done some stuff that he'd gone around hunting down us. He'd gone hunting the believers. He would arrest them, throw them into prison, have them put to death. He's on his high horse. He's a man of authority. He's on his big white horse and he's riding to Damascus. I'm going to arrest all of these Christians. I'm going to get them. They are anathema. They are to be hunted down like a scourge and got rid of. And he's on his horse and he's hunting us. Was us, it was our family. Hallelujah. And rides right into the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he hit the deck. The horse throws him off and he's on his backside sitting there absolutely stunned by the vision of Jesus. And Jesus says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hunting me down, Paul? Paul said, I don't know who you are. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? I don't know. Jesus said something. He said, this is the risen Savior. He's appeared to Saul on the side of the road. And he says to him, whatsoever you do to the least of these, my beloved, these, my trainees, my Davids, my David hearts, whatsoever you do to them, you do it to me. Hallelujah. Hey, isn't that good? You know, that's how Jesus thinks about you. Whatsoever they do to you, hallelujah, they're doing to him. He takes it personally. Amen. That changes things of how we look at our wives. Whatsoever we do to that precious woman that God's put into our life, we're doing to him. Amen. And now, wives, whatsoever you do to that man. Yes, I know, he says, I know what you deal with, with those guys, with this guy, I know, he says, but you're doing it to me. You're doing it to me. Hallelujah. Oh, can we go back to that? So then, this Paul, he's had an encounter. And then from there, he ends up thrown into prison. He's following Jesus. He's teaching Jesus. You'd think it would all work out nice and pie for him. But no. He ends up thrown into prison. He's under a life sentence. And he's writing to Timothy in the second letter that he's written to him, and this is what he says. He says, when I call to mind the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, there's no hypocritical play acting in that faith. The kind of faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that that faith is in you. You see, God was training another David. He was training another David heart. It was Tim. Hallelujah. And it's you. He's writing to you. He's writing to us. He says, I know yet that faith that's in you. It's not pretended. Jesus says, I know all about your faith. I know how you trust me. I know what you think about me. I know how you trust me. It is precious. It's unfeigned faith. On account of that precious faith, I put you in remembrance to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Hallelujah. God has a calling for each one of you. He brings his calling and he brings his gifting upon your life. And oftentimes that is imparted through the man or woman of faith that release it to you. Hallelujah. We have Seth Fawcett who comes and ministers in this fellowship. He has a faith to impart, to release the presence of God into lives, to impact them and empower them. And the Lord wants you empowered. Hallelujah. And he does that through your brothers and sisters. And he will do it through you, empowering others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. He's given us a spirit of dunamis, a spirit of can-do ability. Hallelujah. This is the gifting. He puts a can-do in you, and he's preparing you, and he says, stir it up. Stir up that which I've deposited in your life. Hallelujah. He says, and it's a spirit of love, and it's a spirit of a sound, wise mind. He's not wacky. Jesus is not wacky. Hallelujah. He's not driven. He says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We are in control. The Holy Spirit gives us the power over our emotions to act. And we are growing in this. We're getting sharper and sharper. But see, he wants it so that when we speak, he's speaking. And stuff happens when he's speaking. When his word goes into you, you're not the same. You're changed by his word. Hallelujah. He's not given us the spirit, but he has given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Let's have the next verse. Hallelujah. You are therefore not to be ashamed. of the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are not, big not. This is an area that you do not function in. As a son, as a child of God, you will not walk around ashamed. You will not walk around under a cloud of accusation. Word of God tells us that you have an enemy. He is the accuser. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that he accuses us 24/7 before the Father. He's rubbishing you and speaking curses on you. He would love to ruin your life. Okay? But the Lord says you are not to wear that rubbish. You are not to come under his shaming. You are not to be shut down, and you're not to be ashamed of the testimony, the message of who God says you are to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And who he is to you. You are not to shut down on that in any measure. He says, hallelujah. And he says, and here's Paul in a hole in the ground in Rome with a stinking sewer running through, chained to a couple of soldiers on the side of it. And so he's writing this to him, you know. And he says, and you're not to be ashamed of me. You're not to be ashamed of me. Don't be moved. Don't let any man deceive you and move you from the main thing. Instead, you must be prepared to suffer the hard stuff that accompanies the message of Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, you're going to go through some hard stuff. Okay? It just happens. Okay? You have an enemy. He's against you. He's frightened of Jesus in you. Okay? He's incredibly threatened by the call of God on your life. Hallelujah. So you are to be prepared to suffer the hard stuff that accompanies the gospel, and to do so according to and governed by the power of God. Can you see what's to be governing us? The power of God, the dunamis of God, the can-do anointing of God. To do, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. You see, Paul was writing to this trainee. He's a trainee for such an hour. He's going into a period of change, incredible change. They would be hunted down like dogs. Then, and the words are for us, because we don't know what's ahead. Paul taught that shame, that being ashamed, was not to be a part of the believer's life. We will not live up or wear the devil's accusation. Hallelujah. Paul says, I won't wear shame. Peter said the same thing. He says, yet if any Christian suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God. Let him shine out what God, who God is and what God's like. You're shining out who God is. Hallelujah. Don't allow any thought be in your head to call down and make small who you are to God. Your preciousness and the bigness of the call that God has on your life. Take it on. Own it and thank God for it, because he will take you into it. He knows. He could work on a bunch of fishermen. Hallelujah. Out of the back blocks of nowhere that are totally disqualified. All right. And these guys turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. Why? Because of what God put on them. And what's going to happen, what God's putting on your life in this hour is so precious. It's so big. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul continues his letter to Timothy. He says, but instead you to be prepared to suffer the hard stuff that goes along with the gospel, and to do so governed by the power of God. God, who has saved us and called us with this incredible calling. You see, it's not my idea. It's his idea. It's his dream. You see, not according to our works, not according to our toil, not according to how hard I can screw my face up and put my effort in, but it's according to his call and his mantling and his empowerment and his work. Hallelujah. According to his own purpose and his intent, his ideas about what's coming onto my life, his ideas about who I can be to him. Hallelujah. And it's according to his love, and it's according to his grace. And you want to know how big this is? Which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began? Oh, that is out there. That is stunning. You knew. They're sitting in heaven dreaming about you and knowing your address. Hallelujah. Amen. Before the world began. How? Yes, he can train us. He can fashion us. Hallelujah. But is now made manifest. Jesus is now made manifest. His purpose is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's abolished death, and he's brought us life, and he's brought us immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Next verse. In this, he says Paul, I'm appointed and purposed as a preacher. I tell you about it. I preach. Okay. Some of you he's going to appoint as preachers. Okay. Some of you. Okay. And an apostle and a teacher of the ethnicities. Hallelujah. The races. Literally, it was the races. In the King James, it says Gentiles. But no, it wasn't the word for Gentiles. It was races. Okay. It was the Greek. That's what he was saying. Huh? He's talking about each people group. He says, and I am to go to the people groups. And the Lord would have you go to your people group and other people groups. And you will shine a light in there with power that will bring a change. Hallelujah. He sends evangelists. You know, an evangelist like Pastor David has this anointing that they get in the presence of somebody, and all the anointing just around them, the hindrances to that person making a decision for Christ are dealt with, and there's an open door, and those people come to Christ. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful call of an evangelist. See, he says, I am purposed in this regard, he says, for which cause, he says, I'm here in this jail and I'm suffering these things. Next verse. But I'm not ashamed. I will not be shut down. I'll not be turned off. I'll not be moved away from the call of God. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, he takes us from now. And we are persuaded. Hallelujah. I am persuaded. That's faith. I am persuaded. I have believed. David wrote in Psalm 119, which I'm going to speak on next time, which is, I'm going to carry on talking about David's. Hallelujah. Amen. But he is able to keep and train and equip and get us through and get us up and going again when we make a mess of it. Hallelujah. I know whom I have believed. David, when he wrote Psalm 119, he says, I believe your word. I believe you. The word they used for believe. Amen. Amen. I amen you. Yeah, let it stand. I know that it stands. When you speak into my life, Lord, I know that that is rock solid. Yeah, rock solid. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I build my church on that rock. Eh? Hallelujah. Take heed that no man deceive you by rubbishing you, rubbishing who you are, rubbishing who you are to God. You never, never let your thinking go there. Okay? Never let your thinking go there, being talked down as to being of any worth. Okay? He hung on a cross for you. And he had you in mind as he hung there. He had you in his thoughts. He could do that because he's the Lord. And he did. He had that. He had us by name. Hallelujah. I called you by name, he says. Hallelujah. Remember, the accuser, don't take the rubbish. We fight back and we overcome. We fight back and we overcome. Amen. Hold fast, Paul said. See, he carried on his letter. Hold fast to the form. Hold fast to the pattern of sound, wise word. Words that you heard when you came alongside of me. Hallelujah. We're to hold fast. You see, we won't be ashamed. We won't be moved away. We won't have anyone, any person, any entity, any governing body to move us away from who we are to him. Hallelujah. What kind of words has he brought us? Words of faith, words of love. Those words are in Christ Jesus. They're the words that he brings you. Hallelujah. That beautiful good thing which was committed to you, he says in verse 14, that you are to keep in sacred trust. How do you keep? How do we keep hold of this? Lord, you know me. How can I? How can I hang on to this? How can I take the next step? You know how knocked around I've been, Lord. Hallelujah. But he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. That's how. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, this is your dream. This is in your scriptures. This is your message to equip the sons of God, the daughters of God, for such a time as this, preparing us for the days that are ahead, that you will take us in. And you'll take us in using your word. Lord, we will not allow the enemy to move us away from your word, or to cancel your word, or to make it of no worth. Because when we do that, we are making you of no worth, and we're counting you as no worth. That's not for our lives. Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as we come to this moment, let us come and make a decision right now. Let us make this decision right now. Hallelujah. We had the call last week, come unto me. The Lord saying, yes, yes, right. Make a decision in your heart. I will allow nothing to move me from who I am to you and who you are to me. I will have nothing take place, that place. That will be first in my life. That's the most important thing in my life. You. You. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you can do this right now. You know each heart. Lord, that is lifting up to you right now in response and saying, yes, Lord, this is me. I'm saying, I know that you know my name. I know that you're hearing my thoughts right now as I say yes to you, Lord. I know you're faithful. I know you can do it. Man can't do it. Man gets it wrong. Hallelujah. I've had those people tell me how far I fall short. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You say back. No. Hallelujah. He's my equipper. He has given us, you know, he has given us the garment of salvation. He's taken his robe of righteousness and put it on you. You know how good that is. You know how he thinks about you. He says, you're good enough. How right are you? It's the righteousness of Christ. It's Christ's righteousness. You're as good as Christ. Why? Because Jesus is not because of anything you've done, but because Jesus has put this on you and embraced you and called you by name. Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is your word. We thank you, Lord, that this word will not pass away. We thank you, Lord, that you've heard today, each one of us, as we've said to you, Lord, hold me close. Cause me to treasure you in this hour. Take me on. Take me on. Lord, I take your yoke. I take that joining to you. I lock onto you, Lord. And I know whom I have believed. And I know that he is able to do that, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen.
Praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just stand. We're just going to spend some time with the Lord. And let us reflect at what Pastor Peter had talked about today. We have a holy calling. A holy calling according to his own purpose, his own intent, his love, his grace, and his power. And that is so liberating. And that is freedom, because we don't have to come up with anything apart from what he has for us. If you are striving today, and if you're thinking of this and thinking of that, if you're thinking of how can we do this better, how can we achieve these things, look no further. We have a holy calling. A holy calling. And it's according to his power. It's according to his grace. It's according to his plans. That is freedom. There is freedom. Freedom to just come to him and just to worship him. It talks about having the heart of David. How do we have the heart of David? What can we do to have the heart of David? And can I just read this? It's a testimony of a psalmist. It's a confession of the depth of the love of David to the Lord, to his Lord, to his God. It is so personal to him. And as I read it, I would like to encourage you, make that personal in your life. Make that personal to you to have that heart of David. I'm reading from Psalm 139. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Hallelujah. I encourage you to make that personal in your life. And as you read that out, make that as a confession to your God, to the Lord. Make it a confession of the awesomeness of God, how He has made you. And your thoughts are on you. His thoughts are of you. And it's intimate. And it's so precious. Hallelujah. We're just going to sing a song. And I invite you, if you want to engage with God, you want to connect with God, feel free to come down. Feel free to come down and just open up to Him. This altar is here. It's just for you to connect with God. Wherever you are, you can connect with Him. But by coming down to the altar and open your heart to God, it sends a message. It sends a message. You can start with the heart of God, heart of David, unto Him. Hallelujah.